In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Time constraints permit us to focus on three aspects of this mysterious text, the most mysterious of all the Reformation Gospels. The violent take the kingdom of God by force. The biblical context, a contemporary illustration, and the Reformation application. The context, of course, is in Matthew 11, is the delegation from St. John the Baptizer, who in his deep despondency in prison, having had such bright expectations that now the greater one has come, now the suffering of the kingdom of God is at an end, now the Lord will vindicate his faithful servant, and bang, he gets put in jail. And well, that's not so bad. Surely the Lord will make the walls of the prison fall down, as in the time of Jericho of old. No, the Lord seems to ignore the thing and walks about preaching and healing. Therefore the question, and we're quite prepared, John sends the message, to accept your answer. But are you really that one? Or do we wait for something more ultimate, something more dynamic? And the Lord sends a message. Tell John what you see. The lame walk, the blind receive their sight, the deaf hear, and the poor have the good news preached to them. The very things which Isaiah the prophet said would happen. These are the marks of the Messiah. And John accepted and manfully pays with his life in the end. And so the violence seemed to triumph over the kingdom of God yet once more. A contemporary illustration. Who of us did not thrill to see the 70-year yoke of this horrid Babylonian captivity collapse and the triumphant resurrection of the Easter liturgy, broadcast of all things on Moscow radio and television on the 1,000th anniversary of Christianity in Russia. Who did not thrill to see such a manifest victory of the kingdom of God? But there is a mistake in that somewhat fleshly thrill. Of course it was wonderful, but do we assume that the kingdom of God was trodden underfoot and languished and defeated for 70 years there, and then in one brief moment, triumph? Dear friends, the truth of the kingdom of God is such that it was triumphing all along. That kingdom which the violence seeks to take by force, but only seems to do so, that kingdom which rules in the hearts and souls and minds of men and women and babies, that kingdom was triumphing all the time, ever since our Lord rose from the dead, who by his death destroyed death. Nothing can set that kingdom back. And the best and the deepest, the most wonderful triumphs are those that are often accompanied by human tears, not the magnificent spectacles that appear on television. Then, when it pays to be Christian, immediately all sorts of opportunists rush to the fore, too, to help along. But the real victories of the kingdom, happen elsewhere. They were there all along throughout those 70 long years. And what are the real victories? When a person is given grace and courage to bear his sentence, say, to Siberia, and when in place of his despair and despondency he receives the power to believe and trust in God, that is the victory of the kingdom of God. And it doesn't, of course, happen only in Siberia. It happens all over the world. When a dishonest person, a thief or a liar, turns from his lies and deceit and gives God the honor and serves the truth, that is a mighty victory of the kingdom of God in the hearts of men. When a person whose soul is shriveled with bitterness and self-centeredness, when such a heart of stone is melted by the gospel of Christ, and he finds it in his heart to forgive and to do good to those who mistreat him, to think thoughts of kindness even of his enemies, and with the kindness and compassion of Christ, not give back evil for evil, but pay back evil with good, and pray for those who have been his enemies, and be reconciled in Christ. These are supernatural miracles of the victory of Christ's kingdom on earth. And behind it all, of course, the only thing that gives this sort of thing any value and supernatural power, behind it is that greatest of all victories, which is celebrated in heaven, when the angels rejoice over one sinner who repents. We hope and pray that also in this chapel, the choirs of angels have had much occasion to rejoice in jubilation over the sincere repentance of the children of God who come and offer here, who rather come and in faith receive what Christ offers here in his unconditional gospel. So these are the victories when, at the beginning of our spiritual life, when a baby is snatched out of darkness and brought into the kingdom of his Son in holy baptism, that's the victory. And when at the end and the consummation of that baptism, a man or a woman goes to death in Siberia or here, either in great weakness or in courage, perhaps even in the violence of tragic mishap, but when such a person reaches the consummation of his baptism and is transferred from this, the church militant, to the church triumphant, that is an enormous victory of the kingdom of God. And now, finally, the application to the Reformation. Many have celebrated the Reformation in quite fleshly terms, as though it meant this sort of thing. Well, our chaps had an argument with your chaps 400 years ago, and our chaps won, so now we are celebrating. We are celebrating the victory of the virtues of some nations over the vices of other nations. No, the Reformation wasn't that. The Reformation was fundamentally a great victory of the kingdom of God. And though it was a mighty earthquake that transformed the landscape of not just Europe but of the world forever after, it was only a little aftershock in the real earthquake of our Lord's resurrection, which lifted the earth off its hinges and destroyed death and hell for us. So that, although many battles remain to be lost and won, the war has been won. The Reformation was a great divine miracle where God, without any of our doing, men and women of God did their duty, pastors, ministers of the word, did what they had to do anyhow. They proclaimed God's word, and people did their duty, princes did their duty, people did their duty in daily life. And the Reformation came out of all that. No committee planned that. No committee could have brought it about. God did it, and it was a triumph of his life-giving gospel, and that had been going on all along, even though the Reformation is like the Russian liberation, a great kind of visible pinnacle, a tip of the iceberg. The victory of God's kingdom has been going on all along. It's not limited to once in a millennium sort of thing. And so today, too, dear friends, don't be despairing and despondent, concentrating only on the bleak side of things. Yes, the Reformation message today is despised by many. What does justification by faith mean to many modern Protestants, except a life of ease and doing as I like, where the pearl is trampled underfoot by swine. The Reformation, the sacrament of the Lord's body and blood, which was the precious jewel of the Church of the Orders of Confession, yes, it is compromised by much of nominal Lutheranism today. The confession, compromised, denied in many places, yes. These victories are won in thousands and tens of thousands of baptisms, of Eucharistic celebrations, of faithful preaching. And we see it also here in the great multitude in this chapel today. How many are there of different backgrounds? Backgrounds from many different points of view, where people have come to see the glory and the grandeur of the real evangelical heart and core of the Orders of Confession and the Church of the Orders of Confession as a manifestation of Christ's kingdom. So, the victories again, dear friends, are all around. God grant us courage always to live in the real victories of the kingdom. And God, in His due time, knows when to show tips of icebergs here and there. But be assured, it's all around. Now, the concluding four lines from the World War I poet Edward Sillitoe flew down the steps. Will you excuse me for 10 seconds while I gather them so that I may read that to you? Therefore shall not we fear, though the earth be removed. The other gods were strong, but thou wast weak. They rode, but thou didst stumble to a throne. But to our wounds, only God's wounds can speak, and not a god has wounds, but thou alone.